The fourth Sunday of Advent. It's all just about to happen, isn't it? Anyway, we turn to our order of service. O Lord, open our lips, and our mouth shall proclaim your praise. Reveal among us the light of your presence, that we may behold your power and glory. Blessed are you, sovereign God of all. To you be praise and glory forever. In your tender compassion, the dawn from on high is breaking upon us to dispel the lingering shadows of night. As we look for your coming among us this day, open our eyes to that the world may rejoice and give you praise. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessed be God forever. Lift up your heads, O gates. Be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord who is mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates. Be lifted up, you everlasting doors. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning,
is now, and shall be forever. Amen. And we turn to say sorry for those things that we have said or thought or done which has spoilt God's image in us. Christ came in humility to share our lives. Forgive our pride. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ came with good news for all people. Forgive our silence. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Christ came in love to a world of suffering. Forgive our self-centeredness. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. May God, who loved the world so much that he sent his Son to be our Saviour, forgive us our sins and make us holy to serve him in the world through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we are saying the Magnificat this morning. Do please join with me in the words in bold. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. He has looked with favour on his lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm and has scattered the proud in their conceit, casting down the mighty from their thrones and lifting up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has come to the aid of his servant Israel to remember his promise of mercy, the promise made to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. Dawn's going to read our first reading.
Our first reading comes from Isaiah 7, verses 10 to 16. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. He will be eating curds and honey, when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. For before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid waste. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And our psalm this morning is Psalm 80, beginning at verse 1. We say together, turn us again, O God, show the light of your countenance, and we shall be saved. Hear us, Shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who sit enthroned between the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh. Awaken your might, come and save us. Restore us, O God, make your face shine on us that we may be saved. How long, Lord God Almighty, will your anger smoulder against the prayers of your people? Turn us again, O God, show the light of your countenance, and we shall be saved. You have fed them with the tears of bread of tears. You have made them drink tears by the bowlful. You have made us an object of derision to our neighbours, and our enemies mock us. Restore us, God Almighty. Make your face shine on us, that we may be saved. Turn us again, O God. Show the light of your countenance, and we shall be saved. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. Faithful Shepherd of your people, as we look for the light of your countenance, restore in us the image of your glory, and graft us into the risen life of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And our second reading.
Second reading comes from Matthew 1, beginning at verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
This year, our lectionary gospel takes us back to the beginning of our three-year cycle to the Gospel of Matthew. Whereas Luke focuses on Mary's story, Matthew turns his attention to Joseph. Although Joseph is often considered to be a major role in school nativity plays, he actually doesn't feature that much in the narratives of Jesus' life. And yet, Matthew reminds us that Joseph played a key and important role in Jesus' story. So let's look at what Matthew tells us. Joseph is a carpenter. He is also someone who feared God, respected God, remembered God, and worshipped God. One day he found that his world had been turned upside down. He is engaged to be married to a young girl called Mary, and suddenly discovers that his fiancée is pregnant and he knows that he is not the father. Let's be honest, this is a tricky and awkward situation even for us today in our liberal society. put the clock back 2,000 years, and it was considerably more than tricky. It was scandalous. In first century Judaism, people were promised in marriage to one another from an early age. A year before they were due to be married, they entered into a formal legal contract. For someone like Mary, who was betrothed to be married and yet found to be pregnant by another man, she could have been brought to court and potentially stoned to death. At this point in the story, Mary is clearly the one who potentially had the worst reputation imaginable. However, Joseph, we are told, has the reputation of being a righteous man. We can only imagine how Joseph felt. It was not an easy place for him to be. If he made a fuss, then Mary could well be stoned to death. If he divorced her as quietly as he could, then Mary would be left facing a life of poverty, begging, and prostitution to support herself and her son. And if he went on and married her, then Mary's son would become Joseph's heir, even if he and Mary went on to have children of their own. And all the time, even if they managed to keep the whole thing as quiet as possible, he would know that the child wasn't his. He would know that Mary had been unfaithful, and he would know that she was somehow deluded, and therefore he was married to someone who was unhinged, claiming that God was her son's father. Poor chap, poor Joseph. It puts some of my worries and concerns into the shade. The fact is, Joseph didn't believe Mary's story. Why would he? Why would anyone? Unless you have a visit from an angel. It's probably completely understandable that at this point in the story, when an angel appears to Joseph in a dream, his first words to Joseph are, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." As I said only a few weeks ago, "Do not be afraid" is the most common command in the Bible, and it's so much easier said than done. Why wouldn't Joseph be afraid? How can you not be afraid when you are asked to believe the unimaginable and the impossible? Who cannot be afraid when we consider the surprising ways God acts? Who cannot be afraid for the future of a young woman who made a claim that God was the father of her son? Who cannot be afraid for a well-meaning, upright carpenter with an exemplary reputation who chooses to believe the impossible and faces a future which was messy, complicated, and scandalous? Fear for Joseph is completely understandable. In some ways, what he is prepared to believe is laughably stupid. In choosing Joseph to be Jesus' earthly father, God is asking a person with a good and trustworthy reputation to face shame and uncertainty. God is asking Joseph to embrace a mess he has not created. He is asking Joseph to love and stand faithfully by a woman whose story he doesn't understand and doesn't believe to be true. God is asking Joseph to love and protect a baby who is not his own son, and to accept him as heir. And here's the most incredible thing. God's plan for salvation requires Joseph to choose to do something which he probably feared and dreaded the most. Joseph is being called to do something new, something risky and unconventional, something that would require courage, strength, faith, and guts. No wonder the angel tells Joseph, "Do not be afraid." "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. It is important to note that the verses that go before this passage in Matthew chapter 1 record Jesus' family tree. Matthew gives us the record of Jesus' ancestors, starting with Abraham. Abraham is, as Matthew has mentioned, the father of Isaac, but Isaac was also the father of Ishmael, who he abandoned. Then there's Jacob, the liar and deceiver. David, who committed adultery with Bathsheba and arranged for her husband to die so he wouldn't be found out. There's also Tamar, who tricked her father-in-law into sleeping with her, and Rahab, who was a prostitute. This family tree tells of complicated, messy stories throughout the generations involving sin and scandal. How amazing that God should choose this family tree for his son. Actually, it gives me hope. I expect my family tree is just like it. And such family trees like that, like yours and mine, are the perfect backdrop for God to bring about his story of restoration, healing, hope, and second chances. Not just for one family, but for the whole world. "Do not be afraid," said the angel. He said it to Mary. He said it to Joseph. He said it to the shepherds. Do not be afraid. God says to you and to me, don't be afraid of the mess. Don't be afraid that my ways are not your ways and my thoughts are not your thoughts. Don't be afraid of the impossible. Listen to the angels this Christmas and remember Mary and remember Joseph's story, that absolutely nothing is impossible with God. Amen. And Dawn is going to lead us in our intercessions.
Let us pray. Watchful at all times, let us pray for strength to stand with confidence before our Maker and Redeemer, that God may bring in his kingdom with justice and mercy. Let us pray to the Lord. Maranatha. Come, Lord Jesus. That God may establish among the nations his scepter of righteousness. Let us pray to the Lord. Maranatha. Come, Lord Jesus. That we may seek Christ in the scriptures and recognize him in the breaking of the bread. Let us pray to the Lord. Maranatha. Come, Lord Jesus. That God may bind up the brokenhearted, restore the sick, and raise up all who have fallen. We pray specially for Jacques, Jen, Rosemary, Ali, Brenda, Olivia, Gerald, Cynthia, Pippa, Joe, Jackie, Mary, Helen, John, Henrietta, Tony, Donald, Diana, and Roman. Come, Lord Jesus. Let the light of God's coming may dawn on all who live in darkness and the shadow of death. We pray especially for the family of Patricia Knapp. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. That with all the saints in light, we may shine forth as lights for the world. Let us pray to the Lord. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. And the collect for the fourth Sunday in Advent. Eternal God, as Mary waited for the birth of your Son, so we wait for his coming in glory. Bring us through the birth pangs of this present age to see with her our great salvation in Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And we join together with the Lord's Prayer, awaiting his coming in glory, as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Christ, the Son of Righteousness, shine upon us. Scatter the darkness from before our path, and make us ready to meet him when he comes in glory. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among us and remain with us and those we love and pray for, now and always. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much, everyone. I hope that wasn't too distorted. Difficult to know what was actually happening out there. God knows, though, then that's a relief. if you are planning on Zooming on Christmas morning, we'll be starting at 9, and next week we will send out the service sheets, not just for Christmas morning, but for New Year's Day for the following Sunday. So you should get two services winging it their way to you by the end of this week. Please let me know if you don't get all two, because the office will be closed the week after Christmas. But we will be Zooming at 9 o'clock on Christmas morning and back to our normal time of 9:30 on the 1st of January. If I don't see you on Christmas morning, I hope you have a wonderful Christmas. Thank you so much for joining me, not just this morning, but other mornings as well. And may God really bless you this Christmas. And may you have a wonderful time, and hope to see you very soon in some way, shape or form. Put the coffee morning at the golf club on the 11th of January in your diary as something to look forward for the new year. Thank you, Dawn. Thank you, one and all. God bless you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye, Dawn.